It's good to see you this morning. If you've been around here for very long at all, you know that I absolutely love music. It's one of my favorite things. And this morning, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite songs. It might not be my favorite song, but there's no question it's on the top five, top 10 favorite song of all times. Now, here's the thing. I'm a musician talking about my favorite song, so here's what I know. As I start talking about this, there's going to be some noises, air guitars, air drumming that's going to have to happen for me to explain this song. But I want to make an agreement with you. Can we all agree right now that our media team can never use it to defame or disparage me? Do we agree with that right now? Because they are not kind when y'all are not in this room. So here's what happens. This song starts off in a super slow 6-8 groove. My favorite recording of this, Steve Jordan begins to throw down. Just, why are you laughing? That was disparaging to me. You just got to get in that moment. Steve Jordan is in a moment and you're laughing at me. And just a couple bars of that, Pino Palladino comes in on the bass. And then John Mayer with a Stratocaster lick. Da-na-na-na-na. He starts laying it down. It's a super smooth groove. And then eventually, the lyrics of the song comes. And it says, gravity, it's working against me. And gravity, it wants to bring me down. I'll never know what makes this man with all the love that his heart can stand dream of ways to throw it all away. And there's just verse after verse of him saying, gravity, it's pulling me away. The things that I love, it's pulling me away. And then right in the middle of the song, he just lays down this solo that pulls all the tension that we felt of that in our own lives. And then he ends the song just over and over and over with this refrain, just keep me where the light is. And then a choir comes behind him and just keep me where the light is. Why he's soloing over this? Because the reality is, and I bet you felt it, it's so easy to fall away from something you love. Since we're talking about music, like this is just me with music. I love music. I love playing music. I've played it for a lot of years of my life. But the busyness of life, the responsibilities that I'll have, it's so easy to go months without touching a guitar or piano. Like, it's like, why would I do that? I love playing music, but it just goes away. And it's not just about our hobbies. It's also about the responsibilities in our life, the people that we love in our lives. Like, do you know how easy it is to take the responsibilities of work, the stresses that I feel, and not invest in the family that God's given me? Some of y'all feel that. And it's not just me, it's all of us. Sometimes the desire for more and more, the gravitational pull has led some of you to make some really dumb financial decisions. And also, some of you, just a gravitational pull to be, I wanna be right, has broken some relationships. It's gravity. It sometimes pulls away at our soul. And it's not that we're gonna just talk about that principle and our responsibilities. The reason that that's so important is because this exact gravitational pull is often at work in our relationship with God. If you have been a Christian for 6 months or more, and I would just say 6 minutes or more, somebody say amen. If you've been a Christian for any time along, you have felt the gravitational pull of sin, and we've all at different moments of our life woken up and gone, why am I here? In fact, some of you are in this room this morning and you're walking in with a little bit of guilt and shame because gravity of sin has pulled you into places this week that you know do not honor the Lord or you don't want to be a part of. Because it's so easy to fall away from something we love. You ever heard the hymn? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So easy to fall away from something you love. But our text today, this morning, is gonna keep us going where the light is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. As you're turning there, flip there, turn there, get there, however you wanna do it, but make sure you're there with us. And as a reminder, as you're getting there, I wanna remind you of a massive organizing theme over the entire book of Hebrews, and this is it. There was a warning, an exhortation to the Jewish believers to not fall away. And there was really two obvious reasons that they would fall away. The one is just external persecutions. Being a Christian in the first century in the Roman Empire was not a safe thing to be. But second is that the Jews were Jewish believers, and they were really tempted in the midst of all that was going on to fall back into their Jewish beliefs instead of just trusting in the salvation, in their salvation in Christ alone, and not leaning back into Jewish practices and the Jewish laws. And so that's where we find ourselves. Hebrew chapter 2. Now, this is really important. I told you it's an organizing theme. There's five different warning passages in the book of Hebrews as we go throughout the book of Hebrews. Today is the first one. Chapter 1 was a lot of great theology, and now we come to our first warning passage. So let's jump in there, verse 1 together. First three words, and we're going to pause for this reason. If you're a Bible student, you know there's sometimes signposts as we're reading the Bible that we should pay attention for. Attention to. Maybe a phrase you've ever heard of, if there's a therefore, you ask, what is it? Therefore. That's a really great plan because we want to know what the Bible is referring to. So when it says for this reason or because, we always want to look back. And so the writer of Hebrews right now is referring back to everything he just discussed in chapter 1, which is predominantly this, that in the last days, God has spoken through his son. And by the way, his son is God. And then last week, Pastor Matt walked us through and says that Jesus is better than the angels. And he says, because of those two reasons, he's going to give us a warning that there's a danger for us in drifting away. Verse 1 says, for this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. Pay attention to what you've heard. Such a simple phrase that you have said to a toddler a million times in your life. So simple, but man, is it complex in our modern world to pay attention to. Did a little research this week. I want to tell you what you've heard on average. Okay, some of you are going to be a little below this. Some of you are going to be way above this. But on average, what we have heard this week, you have heard or seen 28,000 ads. Some of you are like, that ain't true. Yes, it is. 700 of those actually brought your attention up. Like, you can ignore all of them, YouTube, thank you very much. But there's 700 of those ads that you actually paid attention to. What we know today, now it's football season, approximately 70% of those are Dr. Pepper Fansville ads. But 28,000 ads you've seen or heard this week, in the last 7 days. You have seen 28 hours of TV. 28 hours of TV. That's average for Americans over a 7-day period. You've seen 17.5 hours of social media. You've heard it. You've seen it. You've taken in 17.5 hours. Like, Brent, how is that possible? That's a lot of hours. Yeah, but some of you, you know, you scroll like this while you're watching TV, and then there's a bunch of ads at the same time. The average adult spends 49 hours looking at a screen. Teenagers, you spend an average of 56 hours looking at a screen. And here's the thing. I'm not even going to go into what the content of all those messages were, which you know the vast majority are not pushing you towards Jesus. So what we certainly know is a lot of them are pulling us away from the things that are taught in this word. That's what you've heard and seen this week. And paying attention? Man, we are an incredibly distracted culture. And I'm not even saying it's your fault. The average person in this room picked up their phone 840 times this week. Those pickups in the phone were in the middle of work you were supposed to be focusing on. They were in the midst of conversations with your spouse or with your kids that should take priority. Beyond that, 322 different times you were notified on your phone, on your wrist. Buzz. Distraction. No matter how much you were focusing, it's just boom, boom, boom. And here's the thing. I'm not here today to shame us about the reality of the modern world. I want the notification that reminds me to come pick up my daughter, right? This is good. Like, I'm not trying to shame us, but what I am trying to say this morning is this. I'm trying to make us aware of how hard it is to pay attention to the things that we've heard. Most people's battle plan of paying attention to the Lord in the midst of all that we hear and difficulty of paying attention is just to walk into this room for 70 minutes a week, and you sing for 20 or 25 minutes. You listen to a sermon for 30 to 35 minutes. Sometimes it's 40 because we love to preach. And you walk away and you think that that's gonna compete against everything else you've heard all week long. That's most Christians' battle plan when there's so much that we hear, so much that is taking our attention away. And the Jewish believers had heard the gospel of Christ. They had heard it, but they were starting to fall away because they were being distracted by old beliefs, which were angels, and that they were really important. And Keystone, it could happen, but most of us in this room are not in danger of falling away to worshiping angels over Jesus. But can I tell you what we are in danger of? We're in so in danger of removing our eyes from Jesus and paying attention and worshiping everything we hear in our lives and constantly being interrupted to where only thing we're paying attention to is everything outside of God's word. And he says, pay attention to what you've heard. And then he gives a motivation because he's gonna come in and attack what they've been paying attention to, which is angels. This is verse 2. For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The Jewish belief in the day was that angels had played a role in bringing the law. Both the New Testament writers and the Old Testament writers, Deuteronomy 33:22, gives reference that the angels were a part of Moses receiving the law. And they thought that the angels were really important. But here's what had happened in their lives. They were have begun to surrender to angels and the law that brought punishment rather than the message and the salvation of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews is pressing in. He's saying, listen, guys, if angels and the law were the final word, if that's what it is, then every disobedience that you've ever had against the law requires punishment. And how in the world are you going to escape if your hope is in the law? And the answer is for them, you cannot escape that. You cannot escape that judgment. There's no way you can. So, Jewish believers, why are you trusting in a law that you are guilty of when you should be trusting in the message of Christ, which is your salvation? And we have to be honest with this because they were going back to angels, but for us, it's so easy for us to go back to what you believed before Christ. We're not Jewish background believers that have a really struggle with this, a cultural reality of angel worship in our lives. But we can go back to what we knew before Jesus. So what is our law? What's our law? What are the things in our lives that would hold us? Let me tell you what I think it is, especially in the Midwest. Especially in the Midwest. Our law is God will love you and save you if you are good. Did you hear that? Thank you. Some of you adults need to learn how to be in church. Make a preacher preach better. God will love you and save you if you are good. Here's the message of it. Do good. Make sure that you raise good kids. Make sure you have a good house that is at least on par with every house on HGTV. Make sure you make good money. Be a good neighbor. In essence, it's be good at the American dream. And internally, most of us in our lives, when I sit down and have conversations with people about being good and people feel guilt and shame when they're walking from Jesus, they don't just say it's a message of being good. It's actually that I actually have to be perfect. If I mess up anything, God and others will never love me. So it might not be angels for you, but how will you escape if you neglect the salvation of Christ for the American dream of good and perfect? And the answer is, brothers and sisters, you won't, because you will not be perfect. You will not be perfect. And just so there's no confusion in this moment, he reminds us of exactly what this great salvation is. This is the second part of verse 3. It says, this salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. And at the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders and various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. The author doesn't just want them to believe, he wants them to give evidence. This is a beautiful thing about the New Testament when we're reading it. Especially this book, Christianity doesn't just require faith. The writers are often pointing to crystal clear evidences that people can go check out. When this book is written, there's still a lot of people alive, Jewish believers who saw Jesus walk on planet Earth. There's still, most of the apostles are probably still alive when this book is written. And there are still people around that saw all the signs and wonders and everything that happened in the book of Acts. They're still around. And so the writer is saying, listen, this salvation was spoken of by the Lord. Remember, Hebrews tells us in the last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus declared the kingdom, salvation is here. And it was confirmed by those who heard him, the apostles, 12 plus people who saw Jesus, who heard Jesus teach, and then took the task of going and sharing the good news. But also that God testified, not just with words, but he actually manifested his power in the physical realm. It's not just this ascent. Let's just think about salvation. What also happened with the salvation of gospel is they said, listen, there's real power, and it's shown through signs and wonders and miracles and the giving of different gifts by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:43 says, everyone, this is in the book of Acts, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. So encouraging for my preacher heart, because he told them to pay attention to the salvation they heard. And then he says, just in case you forgot, let me remind you what it is. This is what's going on, verses 1-4. And I want to give you a summary statement. This is the theme of the whole message today. If you're a note taker, you want to write this down. And then we're going to try to dive into personally, how do we deal with this today in the 21st century? This is your phrase. The currents of our culture will shipwreck your faith. Pay attention so you don't drift away. The currents of our culture will shipwreck your faith. Pay attention so you don't drift away. As we walk through this text this morning, there's three choices that, well, everyone in this room is going to have to make a decision with one of these three things. You're probably in one of these three areas. And you have a choice of how you're going to respond to this message. The first one is this. Some of you could neglect a great salvation. Number one is neglect a great salvation. If you do that this morning, the result will, you will not escape judgment. Hebrews, again, 2:3 says, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And the question is, how this morning would it be that your response would be to neglect a great salvation? And this is simply it. You would say no to Jesus. You wouldn't, if this is you, you're not a Christ follower. Maybe you're interested in the things of God. Maybe you're interested, you've been coming in, but at a certain point you said, yeah, I mean, some things that Jesus says are good, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna say no to the salvation of Jesus, and I'm gonna say yes to me figuring out the best I can and figuring out my own spiritual path. Brother and sister, if that's you, I just want you to know that you will not escape judgment if that's your plan. If you keep stiff-arming Jesus and neglect the great salvation that he wants to give you, you will not escape judgment. Number two, drift away. Could be a response this morning. He tells us to pay attention so we don't drift away. And this morning, if you respond by allowing yourself to drift away from the things you've heard, here's the result. You're going to shipwreck your faith. I love that the New Testament has tons of maritime metaphors. 1 Timothy 1:19 says this, very similar. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and have shipwrecked their faith. Because if we drift away, the danger is that we would shipwreck our faith. So the question has to come is, how in the world do we drift away? Turns out, when you're preaching on things like drifting away, you Google certain things and you get down in rabbit holes. So here's what happens when you drift. A lot of times, drifting occurs, especially in, we're gonna think about the ocean and not Lake Panorama. We're gonna think about the ocean today. What happens in the ocean is something, usually a major event, maybe a storm or a major malfunction of some equipment, and the boat, the vessel stops working. And in that moment, the ocean's currents begin to take it wherever it wants to go. And you're adrift. The good news is today, though, is if a lot of those major malfunctions happen, if those happen today, we have things like GPS, distress calls. We have radios and satellite phones where we can call the Coast Guard and they come with their helicopters and they help people who were drifted away. And I don't even want to focus in on that this morning as much because honestly, major malfunctions are going to happen in your life. Major grief, major disappointments, sicknesses, life interruptive events that are really difficult. And in our lives, we might not have GPS and the Coast Guard, but almost everyone in this room has a text. And a lot of you have a connection group that you can call and say, hey, something blew up in my life and I need help. Will you come? And most of us will respond. And it's really clear in those moments that we need help. But I want to talk about the much more subtle drifting. This is drifting when it's not that you lose an engine. It's not that a storm took out your sail. It's when we have put our anchor down, but over time, our anchor, we lose anchor, or our anchor begins to drag away. This is what happens. A boat or ship comes into a harbor. And it wants to stay there, wants to stay away from the land because ships are much more safe on the water than they are on the ground. And they throw an anchor off the top of the ship. It goes down to the ground. It's supposed to grab earth and the anchor is set. But then what often happens is the anchor begins to drag. They lose anchor. And most of the time, it's not really obvious at first. It's so unnoticeable because it's just dragging a foot or two, or maybe just as a little by little, but before you know it, you've lost your anchor and your vessel is moving closer and closer inland and you are close to shipwrecking your faith. On the website I was reading, this is what happens when an anchor begins to drag. It occurs when an external force is greater than the holding power. And man, are there some external forces in our lives. What about the currents of life? One of the currents of life is just the cares that we have to deal with. We all have responsibility. Most of you in this room are probably right now in the most demanding job you've ever had, full of responsibility. High demanding jobs. Your kids require a lot of attention, especially in the fall as your kids get older. It just seems like it's crazy. There's so many responsibilities. You have to feed them. You have to Uber them. You have to make sure they do their homework and receive 10 trillion emails from their teachers. Amen. So many cares in the world. And a lot of them are good, but if we're not careful, that current of all the cares that we should be responsible for is the only thing we're paying attention to, and we lose the anchor of our soul. What about the current of our life, which is just our desires? A desire. Some of these can be good, and some of them are downright evil, but there's desires in your life that is a current that is so strong, it is removing your anchor and it's overcoming the anchor you have in your life. If you don't know what it is in your own soul, ask someone who loves you. They'll tell you. Your roommate, your spouse, They'll tell you, this is a desire in your soul that is more important as a current that is a possibility of pulling your anchor of Jesus off the ground. But what about the currents of sin? Unrepentant sin. It's a current that will pull you away faster than you can imagine. And what happens is it's really difficult to get back in course because 9 times out of 10, unrepentant sin is done in isolation. So you're swept out in the current before anybody ever knew you were gone. What about unforgiveness? You have an anchor, but you refuse to look at that because you're just burning inside of you with unforgiveness. And it's a current that just keeps pulling you away. And then a lot of it is just apathy. The current of sin is just apathy. You're sitting on the top of a boat enjoying your life and you haven't even looked around to notice that you're drifting into a very dangerous territory. The currents of our culture will shipwreck your faith. Pay attention so you don't drift away. The third option for you, so one is you can neglect to salvation, a great salvation. Number two is you can drift away. Or number three, you can pay attention. If you pay attention, the result for you is you won't drift and you have an anchor for your soul. Hebrews 6:19, we'll talk about this, we'll preach to this later, but it's a perfect verse for us this morning. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That we're no longer being pulled away by the currents of our culture and our life and our sin, but we are paid attention, anchored into the hope that we have, and we are firm and secure. So the question is, how in the world do we pay attention? How do we pay attention? When you think about anchors in a vessel, there's a thing called an anchor watch. Here's what happens. When these boats, you know, they're hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, when they're anchored out at sea and the anchor is pushed, there is a person or a crew who is responsible for coming up in the wheelhouse, especially at night, and watching the anchor and where they're at and ensuring, especially through the night, because storms can come, seas can swell, tides can hit, which would change your anchor. All of those things could happen and an anchor would be lost. And they make sure that a person is in the wheelhouse that will not let it happen. Often it requires more than one person because it's easy to fall asleep at night. We actually use technology these days. They'll throw a GPS and they'll put a fence because the boat could go around an anchor point. They'll put a fence and if it goes outside of that, alarms will start going off because every captain knows if you lose your anchor, you are in danger of shipwrecking the vessel. And in a world, brother and sister, that is so distracted, it is full of currents. We must, in our life, be diligent to watch over our salvation and our life. In a post up in our life, I'm going to choose to be on watch, especially in the middle of the night. And I'm going to ensure that I don't move because I'm going to receive 28,000 ads, a trillion emails, and everything around me is not going to point me to that. They're going to point me to a different focus, but I am going to be diligent in watching. And here's a mistake that I see so many Christians making. We get on anchor watch, but do you know what we do on anchor watch? All we do is yell about the evil currents in our world. We're so busy watching the evil currents, we forget to look at the anchor which our soul is anchored to. We quit looking at our life. 1 Timothy 4:16, he doesn't say, look at the world and judge them because they're godless and they've never known Jesus, so why would they follow Jesus? What he says is this, pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Preserve in these things. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We must be diligent, not just to notice the horrible currents in our world, but to ask ourselves, am I anchored to the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to give you three questions that will help you determine, are you on anchor watch for your soul? Three questions. First one is this, when is the last time you confessed sin and repented? When is the last time you confessed sin and repented? When's the last time the Word of God, the Spirit of God through the Word of God, convicted you of sin in your life and you sat before God Almighty and said, God, I've blown it. This is not what you have for me. And even let's take it a step further. You went to a brother or sister in Christ and you said, hey, this is where I'm at. When's the last time you confess sin and repented? This is really important. Repentance means this. Not just that you say, God, I sin. Repentance means that you turned around and I'm not gonna do that thing anymore. When's the last time? Can you think of a time the Spirit of God convicted you and you confessed and repented of sin? Number two, when's the last time you took effort outside of this room to deepen your anchor? Guys, I am so pleased. The fact that you're in this room is delightful. You are making choices to follow Jesus in your life. But with 28,000 ads, 10 trillion messages, you need to know that 35 minutes is fantastic, but you might need a little bit more to keep your anchor in the ground against the currents of the world. When's the last time you took an effort to deepen your anchor outside of this room? If you're wondering, Brent, I have no clue how to do that. Equipping season is among us. That is a great way for you to start off. If you don't have a Bible, go to the welcome space. It certainly means personal worship time, personal devotional times. But it also means you take an effort to build your faith. Third question, do you have people in your life that are on anchor watch with you? Honestly, do you have someone when you're being a fool who will come up to you, knock on your door, say, you're going the wrong way. Your anchor's dislodged. You care about this too much. Hey, you're allowing unforgiveness to take root in you and you're becoming bitter and angry. I saw what you were watching on that screen. Do you have someone in your life? If you don't, this is the reason we have connection groups in our lives. And so oftentimes, it's a place for you to come and people who can see you consistently in your life, not just on Sunday morning with your best clothes on, but they can see you on Tuesday night when you're really mad at your boss. They can see how you interact as spouses and they can knock on your door, say, that anchor, you're drifting. Would you bow your head? I just want to ask a couple questions for you. And then we're going to sing. Before I pray, I want you to think about this. Are you in a position where you're neglecting a great salvation? You've never bowed the knee to Christ. And this morning, you're saying, no, thank you. I do not want the gospel of salvation, which Christ himself paid in his life and rose again and wants to give me eternal life. Neglecting such a great salvation would be saying no to Jesus. Number two, are you drifting? The currents of this culture, the currents of the cares of life, sometimes you are not like running away from Jesus, just that life is so overwhelming you, you just are waking up and you're shipwrecked with worry, with guilt, with shame, instead of realizing that King Jesus is on his throne and he will hold you. Are you walking away in sin and you're so close this morning to hitting the rocks and shipwrecking your life because you're allowing sin, the current of sin in your life? Or lastly, are you paying attention? Are you on the anchor watch of your soul and diligently saying of everything in this world, of every message, God, I value you more and I love you so much because you saved me. I don't want to move. God, this morning, we ask you by your Spirit to bear witness with our spirit and help us answer these questions so we can walk out of here following you more closely. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.